Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. No, Jesse. He's out in L.A. No, Las Vegas, Nevada. But I do have a guest in studio, Dave Wright, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, he is back the second time.
New building.
Yes, new building. You realize it's been almost 3 years since you did the first time.
God, no. Yeah. Really, 3 years?
Yeah, because I've been doing the podcast for, it'll be about over three years now.
Wow.
And you were, I think, like the third or fourth guest that I had.
So. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I feel extra special.
Yeah. So I'll have to check what the date was. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was
3 years ago. Wow.
3 years, yeah.
I was talking about I was an old comic then. Jesus.
I know. Now it's gross.
this is a bad sequel.
So what did you do this week? Do you have any shows?
Let's see. This week, what did I get into? I did, two shows at the Comedy Store. And I'll be, I'm opening tonight at the second show at the Comedy Store again.
Okay.
For Brody Stevens.
Is this totally different? Just not acknowledge that you did Winston's last night?
Oh, well, I'm saving the best for last.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Of course. Yes. I was getting the all of the Comedy Stores out of the way so
okay.
that I can throw in the end. And then, of course, last night I co-headlined Winston's.
Yeah, that was a different show.
It was a very different show, yeah.
Yeah. It was a different format than we normally have, and it was just weird, you know?
Yeah.
I just, when there's not a headliner that I know, I don't feel in control of the show.
That makes sense.
You know, because, like, she was supposed to do 20 minutes. And I asked her when she wanted her light, and she said at 25. So I was like, I don't think she's doing 20, unless she wants the light when she's already off stage for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was just weird. There was just a dude that approached me. He like books a lot of music shows around town. And, he was like, well, I got this girl. She opens for some people. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, if I don't know a comic, I know that normal people don't know the comic. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be a draw. The only people that really draw that we have at Winston's are like Stanhope and Joey Diaz.
Well,
you know, when we've had those level of people. But like, one of my favorite things that Doug Stanhope said is he's only like popular like a 10-mile radius around the show he's doing.
Right.
Otherwise, nobody knows who he is. You know, which I think is a great, great, great level of comedy fame.
Yeah.
You know, that the normal person doesn't know you, but you have very loyal fans.
Yeah.
You know, because when Stanhope comes to Winston's, he's not really even doing material. Usually it's like off a notebook. He's just kind of working it out. And sometimes it isn't great, but the people are just happy to be there with him.
Yeah.
You know, they just like him and his character.
He had one show where he was gearing up to get on tour. So this was really like his first kind of swing back. Cause apparently what he'll do is he'll go out on the road for a while and then, you know, he gets a door deal. So he's got a great gig going on with that. Matter of fact, that last Winston show, he did 173 tickets or something like that.
Yeah.
Through his ticket agency in 1 hour, and that was just from one Facebook post.
Yeah.
So that was poof, gone.
Yeah.
Like, I never even heard of him. I was like, that's unbelievable. Yeah. But yeah, he was kind of warming up for one of it, and then he said, you know, all right, next time I'm coming back. So he loves performing at Winston's. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Well, it's great for him, because the last time I think he did American Comedy Company, Winston's, and The Store.
Yeah.
So he did, like, he made probably over 10,000,
well,
you know,
crushed
for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it's not, which is not really real common, like big time money, like those guys that do Vegas
sure
and shit.
Is. He's living in, I mean, that's not
bad. Oh, no, I'm not saying it's bad,
I'm just
saying like when Chappelle comes down here, he makes like 100,000, like in a weekend.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy money, like the bottom to the top, you know.
Oh, yeah.
it's just like life, though, you know.
I'll get 50 bucks for a show and here's, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm no. That's what you're getting though for 50 bucks. You're getting me.
Yeah.
you want a Chappelle, a name brand. Well, you gotta spend money.
Well, that's why I was surprised that, no knock on these people, but, that Willie Wilson put on a show at Sanctuary Lounge with Jesse and, Eric Knowles and Allison and Nick Flair. And I saw that the tickets were $25 for a Wednesday show.
Yeah, it was probably like a cigar special or something.
Well, yeah, I think you got a drink ticket and the proceeds went to Flair.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah, but I just thought $25.
Yeah, well, it's a benefit.
Yeah.
You charge whatever you want for a benefit.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they actually, like, when they go to those presidential dinners and it's $1,000 a plate, they actually get $1,000 worth of food piled up on the plate?
That's a good point. But they are hanging out with the president.
Well, you
know. Are you comparing Jesse to the president?
No. But, I mean, you know, it's equally as important to help somebody else that's sick and trying to raise funds for their cure.
That's true. All right. Okay. Somehow I come out the asshole trying to make a point on something.
I hear what you're saying. Man. Yeah. In that case, you chalk the entire thing up to, you know, the value is this is what I'm giving
away.
True.
What did I do this week? I did the store Wednesday, Thursday. We weren't on last week, so I'll mention what happened at a store set that I didn't feel I did very good at. This was like last Wednesday or Thursday. I was I didn't really feel like I did well, but I had two groups of people that said I was their favorite. So it was weird.
It's like, always a weird thing at the end of a show when everybody's doing the, like, I almost feel like people feel that they have to be compelled to say something to you at the end of the show. Don't, you know, just a simple handshake and a hug, you know. Thanks.
Well, it's even extra for me because I'm working. So I'm cleaning the tables as they're walking out. But it was just weird because it was like, I think it was Wednesday because I normally work Wednesdays. And it was like one side of the room didn't feel like they were laughing at all. And then the other side were enjoying it. But like the side that wasn't laughing at all, like, told me that I was their favorite. So it was just because there's nights where, you know, you do well. And like, I feel like I had the best set. And then nobody says anything to you. You know,
if there was a way to figure out what these crowds are like, it's unreal, man. The differences, and it could be a dead quiet crowd, like barely a laughter at them, and they're like, "Oh my God, we loved you so much after the show." So you did? How did you really? Because what kind of love did you grow up with? Where like you sit on your hands, you do nothing, like you're sitting in the dark, making noise at me, man. Do something.
Right. I think that people. I mean, how many people walk in and say, "Oh, no heckling. Oh, well, I'm gonna heckle and all this." Yeah. Like, so I think a lot of times they almost think that laughing is a form of
heckling.
Yeah.
It's
like, because a lot of people don't go to shows very often, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how many repeat people do you see, really? Yeah. You know, so they're like, they just don't know how to behave, you know? Because I did the store, I think, Wednesday this week, and that's what the crowd felt like. They felt like, definitely the most I feel that at any of the clubs is the Comedy Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like they're not the worst crowds, but just not most intelligent. Like, people that don't go to shows a lot. You know, because I think definitely they're like being extra dirty is good there, where opposed to like the store, I think it's more like relationshipy because everyone's coupled up.
Yeah.
But I think at the Palace, it's a lot of work couples and things, not couples, but work groups.
Groups.
Yeah. So it's like that was the club that took me the longest to do well at, was
at
the Palace.
Really, at the Palace?
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, so the store Wednesday was fun. I went up, not early, but it went okay. I followed Lisa, and she said something about a fuck me flat, so I opened with something about I'm also wearing my fuck. I don't know what I said. But it was a fun little riffy set, I remember. Yeah. And then Thursday I went up pretty late. Thursday I went up.
Yeah, you were getting bumped back and bumped back and bumped
back. I was supposed to go up at 9:13. I ended up going up at 9:53.
Yeah.
So that was a little longer than I had hoped. But Jose, the bartender, was nice enough to give me a beverage for free, so that was nice.
Oh.
Not that one beverage does anything in my alcoholic mind, but it was nice to have
one. It's one less one that you have to pull from your own bottle.
Yeah,
you know?
So that was fine. But yeah, I followed Tommy Chun, who did he's supposed to do 15. He did closer to 20.
I had to follow him on Wednesday at the store.
Okay, and he did 15 too. Yeah.
Yeah, I did 15 there.
Oh, I think you ran it then, too.
Wednesday is when you got me. Wasn't that when you get? Wednesday you got me. That's when you put down the...
No, that was last week.
Was that last week?
You can't
That's still fresh in my head.
Yeah, that was last Wednesday. Dave always, he's known to be very late. Well, very on time, but in a comic world, he's late. He likes to walk in and then walk on stage, which I hate. That he does it, and I hate doing that. Last week, I was working, and I put on the list, I put PG sets tonight.
Yes.
And to which everyone that got there on time were able to ask, not just me, because everyone knows I'll lie about it. So Dave got there right on the nick of time and then asked me, oh, you have to do PG clean sets? And I was like, yeah, and there's somebody from the a reporter from a newspaper. Yep. So you got to be clean. Ryan told me to flash you if you curse.
Yep.
And
this is a minute before I go on stage.
Dave was panicking, and some Aaron Hughes was like offering to switch with you, and you're like, I think I might take that.
As soon as I said that, though, they brought me up on stage. I was like,
Dave walked up there, and he did make it 55 seconds until he said Dick, and then no. Yeah, Dick was the first drop.
Dick, yeah.
And then later in the set, he said
Came
bitch.
Back with bitch. Yes.
But that was it. And you still think that's PG.
On my cable TV, that would be. On Dave TV, that would be PG.
Could you say those on, like, a late night set?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be interested in what other people think on that topic.
Yeah? But, I think bitch and dick are things that they would say on, I think that's prime time now.
Is it?
I think you can get away with bitch and dick on primetime pretty easily.
But not if it has PG in the start of the show. How about
no,
that?
Yeah, PG.
PG is dick
sure,
and bitch.
Sure.
All right. Well, he did a good job, though. You could tell
maybe
that.
Maybe 13.
Yeah. I think it's PG. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Whatever. But it's better than what I'm. I mean, that was close for me.
Yeah.
That's PG for me.
I have to commend you, though. You made it. And but
so
I could
weird.
Tell, like, because I've seen you perform, yeah. And how rapid fire you weren't quite as rapid fire when you were up
no,
there,
because
I could tell that you were just thinking of what the next thing you were going to say.
Yes, yes.
So I thought that was good.
Yeah, the timing was it was really an awkward situation. It was funny. It was good, but
yeah.
But yeah, to know that it wasn't that way after the fact, just I was like, you son of a bitch.
You weren't quite as sweaty when you got off stage.
Yeah.
That's you took your time.
Yes.
But, well, absolutely. We got more. I have to also commend you last night because you followed that headliner. She did like 30, yeah. You know, and then you did a short, quick, I don't know, 10 or 12 minutes, and
yeah.
It was good. You know, it's strong. You tried to bury yourself from the start, but we'll hear how you buried yourself. Coming back up. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment. We got Dave right here.
Jesse's not even here at all.
Yeah, he's here in spirit, though.
Yes.
So we were talking about how you kind of dug yourself a hole. Why do you think that?
Oh,
just made it tough for yourself.
Oh, yeah, just didn't. Normally, I scout out a crowd before I go up on stage, like almost 99% of the time, so that was this was a 1% time where I didn't really check them out.
Right.
Just kind of vaguely looked at the front row and was like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll figure this one out. And really, to be honest with you, it's because I'm just so sick of my closer right now, which I ended up doing anyway. Right. I mean, not my closer, my opener. So I was just like, oh, God, I just don't want to do that tonight. So I'm just going to try. So I'll go up there, see what I can throw up against the wall and see right. what sticks. And nothing. Stuck. Not a damn thing.
Well, because what did you say? You said something.
I made fun of some girl. Like
you made fun of the headliner.
Made fun of a girl.
Yeah.
No, I dug into the making fun of the headliner. Well, the before me headliner.
Yeah.
I guess you could call it. I was the mop up.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I was the skimmer. So anyway, yeah, so I made fun of a girl and it was just, that didn't go over well. So the, like, in comedy, if you don't get them to laugh within the first, like, 30 seconds, you're pretty much screwed. So.
Right.
In this case, that kind of happened. And, then I tried to dig deeper out of the hole as opposed to, you know, as opposed to just stopping and getting out of right. the hole immediately. I was like, no, I can, I'll keep digging. I'll make this work. No, yeah. That didn't work either. So.
Yeah.
So just top failure on top of failure, and then eventually it was just like, all right, let me.
You know what you said that broke him?
No, it was just a bunch of dumb, like just low lying fruit type stuff. I remember I made fun of like there was like an Indian couple there or something, and I didn't look behind it. There was a whole group of Indian people, so now I'm making fun of two of them.
Oh yeah, because you said like something about who's answering the tech calls.
Yes, but the two of you guys here, I feel like somebody's computer's not running. And that didn't go over great with the entire group of them. So I just immediately alienated myself from half of the, like, I don't know, a quarter of the crowd.
Right.
The rest of the crowd's sitting back going, all right, here comes something.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, sometimes the motor doesn't start right away.
Right. So, yeah, you got them. They definitely were enjoying it towards the end.
Yeah, I just had to get back into material and brought it back. And then as soon as I came into where it was, I had to get them. So it was a little bit of that. And I also didn't know what the crowd was going to how the crowd was going to react right away. So that made it a little bit harder too.
Yeah. It's always weird when someone does a lot of time, especially at the store when everyone's doing 8, then someone does like 20.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go after that. It's always weird.
It's a different, cause you got to ride the wave and somehow, they want to stop because naturally you've just watched a whole bunch of comedy and you want to break, And
right.
It's like, all right, here's your break, but now coming on next,
Yeah.
So you have to capture them immediately. And so it's almost like, how can I describe it? You have to like slow down the momentum so that you can control the momentum. So it's kind of like you have to catch it really, it's kind of like catching a football. So you have to, it's coming at you real fast. You got to use your hands to slow it down somehow, some way. And the best way to do that is hold on tight.
Right.
So that's what you have to do in that case. So
yeah.
It's a different vibe. And if you're not ready for that, that can really throw you off big time too. So it's always a difficult thing.
Yeah. I did, felt bad because I messed up. The headliner brought her friend down and, I messed up her name pretty bad.
Oh, whatever.
I remember when a host like screwed up my name in the beginning and I was like, as a host, you should know how to pronounce it,
I'm the worst like that.
But, yeah, her last name, it was Kaya Jananian or something like that. And she said it to me, but it was just weird.
Come on. What do you expect out of that? It's not an easy name to like.
Yeah. I don't know. I tap it to being an idiot as opposed to like some hosts are like, cause I don't know. Phonetically, I think my name is somewhat easy once you say Bilodeau. Like that's not like a scrambled Kaya Jananian. So, she'll never listen, but if she is, so I'm sorry. Like she was kind of cold about it too. Like I was like, sorry. Like if someone said sorry, like if people would mess up my name and then say sorry, I'd be like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cause what happened to you? Didn't someone bring you? Was that you? Yeah, you got brought up as Ryan Hicks. Was that you?
Yeah. That was Wednesday.
That was Tommy Chun. That's right.
Tommy Chun.
Yeah.
The better part was that you can tell when somebody doesn't know the name. Like, in this case, we were doing Shotgun, so whoever's in front of you brings up the next comic.
Yeah.
So there's no host per se. There is no host. So anyway, so he's standing there and he could totally tell that he was trying to remember who it was. So I'm walking up and he's like, all right,
because
he's pointing at me.
A real good intro too.
Well, no, he was buying time. That's what I could see it in his eyes. That's what it was, a good intro, but it was a buying time intro, which was a really long. We've been doing now this guy here.
Well, that's why I thought you had worked with him, because he was like, I've worked on the road with this guy. He's a good friend of mine. So I thought he really actually knew you.
Well, he did. That's the thing. Like, that's the beauty of it. We do know each other.
He's
like,
looking right at you.
Not like well like that, but I mean, yeah, like I've done gigs with I've been worked with the guy, not like exclusively, but.
Well, to be fair, I've worked with him a few times and I met him on Wednesday and on Thursday he reintroduced himself to me.
So that's what I'm saying. Like it was like, when it started off, it was so great. He's like, this guy here, he's a real, oh man, he's a real beast and we've been working together now like 5 years now, coming up next is X. Ryan X.
At least he got someone's name right. It would have been funny if it was like Ryan Wright, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I'm saying. My name is Dave Wright. Like, it's about as easy as, I don't ever have to worry about getting stopped at an airport or anything like that.
Right.
Just, go ahead and share.
Yeah. Well, one thing that you did that I think is something that a lot of comics should learn is to not even mention it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the crowds don't give a shit who you are or know who you are. And then if they like the comic before you and you totally make them look like an asshole or an idiot, then they don't like you.
Yeah.
So anytime people mess up my name, it's been a while, since anyone's messed up my name. But I remember somebody did it at an open mic a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just weird to hear someone, it's been like 4 years since someone screwed up my name. So.
Dude, I am the worst at remembering names. I screwed up a guy's name. I was hosting, what was it? I think it was the Dirty Show for the San Diego Comedy Festival.
Okay.
So they had people flying in from like out of, for whatever the show was. And, so I'm first guy comes up and I screw up his name. Like, his name was like, I don't even remember what it was, so I brought him up as like Jack or something like that, like totally flatlined, couldn't remember dude's name, right. Remembered where he was from, and turns out guy flew in just for that show. And there was no industry people there for him to watch. Like, it was not, he did not spend the $300 to go fly from Detroit to here and screw it up. That, I was like, son of a bitch. And then I got made fun of after that. But that's that's one of the main reasons why I hate hosting is because I'm horrible at remembering people's names.
Yeah.
Like, it takes me forever to remember anybody's name. So when I have to, like, I usually write it down on my hand.
Right. I got better, good at it because I used to host, the whole Winston show, from 6 to 9. I used to do the whole show. So, I got better at it.
Yeah.
But it's been, it's been, 3 years since I've hosted the show because Damien did it for a couple of years. And now we just kind of do it from the booth.
Yeah.
Which I think works for that show just because,
that's good.
There's so many people on the show. So with a host, it just takes extra time. So just, doing it from the booth is quickly. Just making the show go along, especially when people are doing short time. That's really the only time that you need a host is if people are doing longer sets, because if someone does 8 minutes of really terrible material, you need a host to kind of bring the audience back on board, But when people are doing 3 minutes, no one's really crushing or doing that bad that you need someone to bring back the energy,
Plus, it depends on the show too. I mean, sometimes you only got. If you have a bunch of comics on in an hour and a half long show or, even 2 hour long show, sometimes throwing another host in the middle of all of that, I think just slows it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And especially if you got a lot of comics that know each other. Cause then it's not a thing. It's quicker for somebody to just say something 30 seconds than it is going to be for me to run up there, say something about it, say something else like this, make a quick comment.
Right.
And then get the thing going all over again. To me, it's there's kind of pros and cons to it, but I like the way that they're doing it on the booth right now. I think that's probably a way better way to do it.
Yeah, it's the same way kind of the store does with Lou on Thursdays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with it. Because there's no, it's still he's not really resetting the mood, but he's kind of just, regaining the energy, because he's so amped up. And he's somebody that messes up names a lot.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the funniest thing.
Nobody cares. It doesn't. He knows. No. Nobody cares.
Were you still there for my set on Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. I did my closer and I said, all right, I'm Jeff Bilodeau. And Lou just stared at me for a good 5 second beat. And I'm like, are you going to bring him up?
He goes,
oh yeah.
I remember he even said that.
Yeah. I go, am I bringing him up? What are you doing? So he just stared at me.
Lou's
and,
a champion, dude. I love Lou.
Yeah. He's great. And he complimented me. He was like, I like that clothing, but yeah. And so it was cool. I mean, he was probably just enjoying the moment.
Dude,
you know,
it was awesome, man.
So, but yeah, he definitely adds a different dynamic to the show.
Oh, there's times where I've been stoned there watching it after your set or whatever. I'll go, I can stone it and sit back, and I could swear he doesn't even say a word. Like, I don't even think he says names sometimes. It's just, come to the next. that's the best.
He brought up Dustin Nickerson as Dustin N-Wordson the last time Dustin was there. Yeah. So,
Dustin?
Yeah. I'm not going to say it. But,
Christian clean comic.
Yeah.
So they brought him up as the N-word comic.
Well, he didn't say the N-word, but he said the actual term.
N-Wordson?
Yeah. So,
which that's so funny.
Yeah. So it's just funny. That's another thing. I've seen comics correct Lou, on their name.
What's the purpose of all that? Who are you that people need? I mean.
Right. They don't need to know, and they just enjoyed his music for a half hour, sometimes an hour, if not the weekend shows. So you're insulting a 70-year or however old Lou is,
Easy, he's not 70.
I don't know how old he is.
Simmer down.
He could be 50 or 70. The way he dresses, I have no idea how old he is. But a comment. If people mess up your name, who cares? They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
If they knew who you are, then they'll know, that comic screwed it up, but otherwise it doesn't really matter. All right, we are done with the second segment. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Oh, really?
Yes, we were talking during the break. So one thing I want to get into is you kind of talked about the San Diego Comedy Festival. Do you really submit to any festivals at all?
I don't. I really want to start doing that more. That was one of the things a lot of people were talking to me about and told me it's a lot of fun. And a lot of good can come from it, so you can get a lot of gigs. So, yeah, I'm going to start I got to start getting some tapes together and getting up on that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest not the biggest. Everything about a festival, getting ready for it, I hate, because you got to spend money. Not a lot, but money to be judged, and then if you don't get it, you're like, oh, that's the worst $25 I've ever spent,
You're spending good money to get kicked in the dick.
Yeah, so, like, for me, I have, like, one tape that I like, I have my camera in my car now because I'm like, oh, I got to film myself more, and, like, I still don't do it, because I'm like, oh, it probably won't go well tonight. So, you know who John Shefsky is, right?
No.
John Shefsky?
I'm sure.
L.A. guy?
I'm sure if I saw him,
I'll tell you in the break and you'll know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that him and his friend have a mutual agreement to tape each other but not let him know. So you don't have that pressure of knowing you're filming yourself, so you can
That's
have that.
Idea.
Because I've been thinking about, because Maine has a comedy festival, so it could be a good reason to go home.
Yeah.
But like, it's tough for me to go to a festival in like North Dakota.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's nothing I want to see in North Dakota. And, like, even if I get in, I still have to pay. I'm losing money, of course, because you got to pay your way. And then you got to pay to sleep, So it's like, is this...
I mean, if you win, you win, so...
Yeah, but they're not all competitions.
No. Well, I don't know how that works. But, there's something to it. I mean, there's obviously some payoff to it. Otherwise, people wouldn't go, but...
Well, it's making connections and things like that.
See, for me, it's all experiences. Because I'll draw a loose relationship. I'm sure there's got to be some kind of a proximity to it. I mean, growing up in Delaware and Maine, I imagine aren't terribly different. There's not a whole hell of a lot of shit going on.
No,
and it's kind of it's beautiful, but there's nothing to do. It's like, you want to go cruise the Strip or hang out by the 7-Eleven parking lot. Yeah. So like. That's me and a teenager. So any of this shit to me is all like, man, I did a road gig where I went over here to some,
right. I guess
shit all off the 99.
I guess the way you have to take it is that it's a kind of a vacation.
Yeah, it's an experience.
Yeah.
So. I think it's just all experiences because those are all the stories that you can tell later. And those are all the, that's the fun time, like when we get a bunch of comics together and, back in the day, that's what they all used to share with their road gigs.
Right.
And I think that's the same way it is now, with us around town and doing the scene, you get us all together, we all start talking about different horrible gigs and different experiences that we have. So I think all of that is kind of part of becoming, to me, that's a big part of becoming a comic is having those shitty road gigs and those horrible experiences and all of those things where you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And just for the experience of it.
I mean, you've been doing comedy how long now?
Oh, God. I was thinking about it the other day. It's almost embarrassing. I was, I started in 2000, but then I took like 3.5 years off when I actually lived in LA. I stopped doing comedy.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it. That's funny.
So, yeah, go to the big market and don't even bother trying. So what does that make that? What's that, 11 and a half years or something like that? So, yeah, about 11 and a half years.
So they always talk about that. You have to do 10,000 hours of something to be good at it.
Yeah.
Do you think at this point you've done 10,000 hours?
Yeah, definitely think I've done 10,000 hours.
Okay.
Definitely think I've gotten to that point. Well, I guess. I don't know. I'm not one of these put the math in guys. But
that's like a little under 1,000 hours a year that you were doing comedy.
No, I don't think I'm at that point then.
Yeah, because that's...
Yeah, definitely not then.
365 days, so that's like saying you did 3 minutes a day.
No, then no. Well, no, but I'd be close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be in the ballpark of it.
The six-year mark. I think I might be...
3 minutes a day? That's not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, for you. that wasn't a slight to be fair to you.
That's funny, though.
Because
you got a solid three, kid.
You've been doing it 11 years, so for 365 times three, just about, so you'd have to do
that. Nah, but I definitely think I'd be close. It was funny. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, I wonder how many hours it would be, if you broke it down. What would be the, unlike boxing, I think they say it's 10,000.
Right.
Because there's 10 rounds or something to that extent. So I wonder what the equivalent of that would be in comedy.
Yeah, I've been tracking my shows since 2012.
Really?
As far as where I was, if I made money, mm-hmm. you know. So I know how many shows I've done mm-hmm. since 2012. And I don't know that number off the top of my head, but I think that's something good. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably I should even add how long I did, you mm-hmm. know, to even additional, you know, help for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's something I've done, like, just to track money-wise. You
I
know?
Used to do that with, like, this is my so-and-so-and-so-and-so show, and then I got to a point where I was like, oh,
yeah,
the
you
more
mean
my number goes up, I'm like, the more pressure I'm putting on.
Oh, oh, saying how many.
Yeah, like, this is my 475th show, you know, hey, yeah. And it's just like, the only person that cares is me, and if I get applause out of it, I might as well just,
right.
I could get the same level of applause of just going, hey, a round of applause for you guys.
Right, right.
So, it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, for me, I used to blog about every show I did.
Really?
And then I stopped doing that after about 3 years of doing it, and then I took about 2 years off, and I just started again.
That's cool.
Starting to write about each show.
That's neat.
You know, I've talked about it before. Like, if I ever make it in comedy, I would write a book about stand-up of, like, what to expect.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I first started, like, I wanted to find a book on what to expect, and, like, there really wasn't anything.
No.
No, there's books on how to be a comic, or there's famous comics that talk about, like, or most of the comics that do books, it just talk about, like, either put jokes in it or talk mm-hmm. about other stuff other than stand-up
mm-hmm.
because, you know, most people that are going to buy the book aren't really fans of...
Yeah, they're not going to... They're not comics.
They don't care, yeah. you know? So you have to be, like, general. That's why I like listening to the Marin podcast because he talks, like the struggle coming up, you know?
Hmm.
And I think that's what more... That's why I started doing this podcast is mm-hmm. kind of to give comics an outlet of what to expect when you first start up,
yeah.
you know? Because everyone has a different path.
Yeah. It's... I mean... Anybody, you know, anybody thinking about getting into comedy or anything like that, the best advice I could ever give is, you know, don't think this is not a short solution. This is no, you are in a very, very, very
some people
long
luck
road.
Out.
Yeah, but even then, you gotta still
produce.
It's not about the fame or any of that kind of stuff. This is a craft, just like anything else. This is an art, you
right.
know. So any kind of art takes a long, long time, and your perspective changes and. The longer you've done it, the more value you have as an artist because you have more artistic impression
right.
available to you because again, of your experiences. So, you know, yeah, there's people that'll catch fire and blow up and do all those things. But even there, I think in the longevity of it, you'll see most of the comics that have been doing it for 20 years, those are the guys that have their salt. You know,
right.
those are the guys that are truly, truly funny. And they're going to stand the test of time because they've invested the time to learn how to do it better.
Right.
And not just to... Success is great and all those things, but I mean, that's something that'll kind of come and go, I would imagine. You know,
you have to sustain it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the only way to do that is to learn how to build it, learn how to create, learn how to, you know, tell the story and do all those different things. And all of those are just sharpening the tools that you have as a comic.
Right.
And come into it as I am going to learn how to become a comic, not just to become funny.
One example of someone getting lucky but sustaining is it, like tonight you're part of the all bearded showcase at the Comedy Store with Jason Collins and Brody Stevens and,
the gray beards.
Yes.
The gray in the beard now.
Yes. But Jason, he was good friends with Joe Coy when he first
mm-hmm.
started,
mm-hmm.
Before he even started comedy. And the first time he got on was the Ha Ha Cafe
mm-hmm.
and he got on immediately on a showcase because Joe Coy was his friend, so
mm-hmm.
he put him on, and then immediately became a paid regular, like at the Ha
right.
Cafe on his first show.
Good for him,
you know. So, because he's only been doing it like 5 years, but
he's
like
he's funny.
Yeah,
so.
He's very funny, yeah. and like, but he took advantage of all the basically yeah. the advantages that he got.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't just be like, this is my friend, and then just be terrible, and then you're not going to
yeah.
get anything out of it. You
yeah.
know, so you have to be good.
Yeah.
You know, to sustain that, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
But you talked about earlier that you're thinking about making the move to L.A.
Yeah, I'm going to do it, man. It's just got to I've made the mental decision. Now I just have to put all the physical things into play. But, yeah, I'm going to do it. It's because I was like I remember I learned the term, you know, hobby comic or mm-hmm. hobbyist for a long time. And I was like, yeah, that's what I was. So
for a question before mm-hmm. you answer that. There's 668 comedians in the San Diego Comedians page.
Yeah.
How many would you describe as hobbyist comics?
What was the total number again? Six.
668.
668. So I'm going to say that there's probably, what, maybe 638?
So
they were probably giving it a shot or having some fun.
So you think there's 30 comics in San Diego that are not hobbyists?
I don't know. that are on that page, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even, I've honestly blocked that thing off, but.
Okay. Well, what distinguishes from hobbyist to somebody who's taking it seriously?
I think somebody that's doing it, somebody that's doing it seriously is trying to learn how to do it better, trying to move up to get better gigs.
Okay.
Going forward in terms of the industry standard of it and actually trying to and hopefully becoming an actual working comic.
Okay.
So that is your job, you know, that this is what you do to bring in the, you know, to bring in the dough. So that's my goal. That's what I would say is somebody that's doing that. Somebody that's at least bringing in an earning potential, I guess you could say.
Okay.
To an extent on that.
So
then I would consider them somebody, well, yeah, anybody that's getting paid on a regular basis, I guess you could say is to an extent, you know, one of those people.
Okay, paid how much?
I guess it really doesn't matter, that, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's $10, but you're considered somebody that you have to pay to kind of perform,
okay,
then I think that achieves that level in some capacity. Now,
right.
I mean, is that the actual thing? Are you going to be able to live off of that? No, but I mean, I think that's kind of the first level of it, is when you're consistently known as somebody that your talent is good enough where it needs to be paid.
Right. What about, does it matter if they're making more in comedy than their day job?
Well, hopefully that's the goal. I mean, that's the end result. That's the most obvious of all the above, I think.
All right. Well, we're going to come back after the break and figure out what made you decide that L.A. was the right move for you and why it was the right time. So you're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Enjoy the break.
Bye. Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. We are back. Final segment. Dave just used the F word a lot during the break, so.
Got him out of there.
Yeah.
That's out of a certain quotient.
Yeah.
I'm talking this long. There's a certain amount of F words that need to be used.
He's got to drop them. Was there a show, or how long had you been thinking about moving to L.A.?
It was always in the back of my head for, I'm going to say, probably the last maybe like 2 years or so.
Okay.
I really kind of was like, yeah, at some point, you know, I'm going to make the move. At some point, I'm going to make the move. Actually, about 2 years ago, really what happened was I said, you know, listen, you've been doing this now for XYZ amount of years, and nobody knows your name. You know, nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows if you're funny or whatnot. So at least at some point or another, like, you got to just go for it a little bit. Like, you can't just keep doing this about it's just you having fun or something like that.
Do you have a website or do you post any videos online?
No, nothing like that. I hate taking videos of myself, all that stuff. So I'm a real... It's not that I am lazy, but it's not that I'm lazy on those things. It's just I really hate looking at my own stuff.
Yeah,
I hate listening to my recordings. I don't it's nails across the chalkboard to me.
Right.
It's incredibly valuable, and I need to do it.
Right.
But I just can't stand doing it. So now it's kind of getting to that point where I need to start doing all these things. So, you know, it was like first it was get some headshots out, which was funny because I got a bunch of headshots taken, and I didn't. You know, I didn't really think about it. So I had like posted like 20 different posts on Facebook of a different headshot of me, and all my friends back east are like, what are you doing? You're like, come on, you pretty bastard. Like, who are you trying to, you're not a good looking dude. First off, second off, like, why are you post? Like, stop it.
Yeah.
And that was before you could group them all together. So I was like real embarrassed to do any kind of headshots after that.
Right.
So that was like kind of phase one, and phase two was, you know, start going for gigs that, you know, you know, start at the bottom, but start going for gigs that are going to lead to getting money.
Right. You kind of reached out to Zoltan to kind of open up for him for some stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was just like, actually, that was just to do a road gig with him, and that was just more for the experience than anything else, just to get out of Dodge and do comedy on the road. So I did that with him. I just finished one with him. This was our second one that we did, Bakersfield.
That one was a little rough, huh?
Oh, miserable. it was one of the worst
shows ever. About to tase a drunk pregnant woman?
Yes, yes, yes. That's the long and short on that one, man. That was the second fight of the night, by the way.
Nice.
But this one, the bartender was out involved. It was like just a horrible place. But here's what I'm starting to learn. In California, anything that ends in O, any of the cities that end in O, that doesn't start off with San, is going to be a real piece of garbage.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's like Fresno, all Modesto, right. Sacramento,
I haven't been to any of those places.
Yeah, so. All horrible places, man.
Okay.
All horrible places, man. San Bernardino. All right, so there's an outlier. But then you get like
San. Well, you said it started
with San. Yeah, I know, but that's not a good one then.
Oh, that's not
the
a
wrong
good city?
One. Yeah, that's okay. A horrible place too.
All right.
But yeah, like all these bad shows that I've done have been like along the 99.
Okay.
So it's all been like, yeah.
Just... Is there a paid gig you wouldn't take?
Hmm. If I couldn't do the job, if I couldn't actually do the gig, then yeah, I wouldn't take the money. Like, for instance, if someone was going to give me like $1,000 to do, you know, a half hour clean or 45 minutes clean, I wouldn't take that.
What's the most you could do clean?
Oh God, I don't even know. With material? I could do crowd work.
Yeah.
Clean for quite some time, but it wouldn't
be
good.
You could do that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. I want to say the most I've done clean, I think, was like 12 minutes.
Okay.
So.
Would you take this gig? Listened to Kevin James on Dan Lebertard's show, and he got booked to do comedy at a bachelor party.
Yeah, I'd do it.
You'd do that?
Sure.
Okay. Would you do it knowing that the guy that booked it actually told his friends he was getting a stripper, and then you show up?
wait a second. What? So
all his friends.
We were expecting a stripper and then a male comic shows up?
Yes.
No.
You wouldn't do that. $100.
Hell no. $100? No way.
$1,000.
$1,000, I'd have to really think about it.
Okay.
I'd have to seriously consider it. Would do it for $1,000.
You had to do 45. You can't leave the stage.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. For $1,000?
Yeah.
I'd do it.
Okay. That's good.
$1,000, I'd do that. No problem.
So before you move to L.A., are you going to try to make a website, have some videos, have a reel? Writing packet?
No. None of that yet.
Okay.
None of that yet. When I get it, I mean, I have a couple of videos. I have one on the 5 spot, so I got a really nice one on there. And then I have a couple of different clips and stuff like that up on Rooftop.
Okay.
So I have some video there. Nothing pieced together as of yet, but that I don't know if I necessarily have to have that to move up there. I mean, I think, you know, the idea of me moving up there isn't necessarily anything more than just I need to grind it up out there. If I'm going to do the grind, which I'm going to do down here, I might as well do it up there. That's the only major difference. And it's not a, you know, like I'm leaving San Diego type of situation. It's just a matter of I'm going to live up there. I'm still going to come down here just like all LA comics do because there's more stage time down here.
Right.
But the goal is trying to just, at this point, isn't to like make it big or make it onto this, that, and the other. It's just to get some credits up so I can get on the better shows and try to get out and do more comedy.
Do you have any interest in doing anything else other than stand-up?
I mean, that's the thing I love the most, to be honest with you. Would you mean like something else in terms of like a career?
Be like a writer on a sitcom or a children's show?
Yeah, I would love to do children's. No, I'm just kidding. I would love to do.
I thought you were taking me seriously.
I have a whole web series on children's shows. Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that either. I mean, it's anything comedy related, I guess, is really the goal. Yeah. So,
okay.
I mean, are those my strengths? I don't think so. I mean, I think I'm more of a performer than any of the above.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that I can't do those things.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, like, yeah, I enjoy writing. I wouldn't mind writing for, you know, like writing for roast or something like that. Sure. I wouldn't do. You know.
What's your plan? Like, how soon are you looking to move up there?
Basically, as soon as I find a job, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. So.
Have you been applying for stuff?
Yeah. All the time.
What kind of like sales and stuff?
Yeah,
like
sales and management. And then oddly enough, I went in through, not oddly enough, I started looking up just comedy jobs just to see what was on there on Indeed and all kinds of weird stuff on there.
Would you be a door guy at the store?
No. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I don't think it's something that I would necessarily need to do.
Okay. Well, it's a job, I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not going to be enough money. Okay. Not for me to be able to do that.
You're a free spender?
No, I'm still, unfortunately, still kind of frugal, but I don't, you know, I'm 41, so I'm not going to like try to live in a studio.
Okay.
And like just, you know, I'm not going up there just to struggle the entire time. I'm not doing the starving artist thing. Like, it's a matter, I'm going to find a job where I'm like, yeah, I've got money. I can still afford my car and you know, okay. The things that, yeah, I can go out and buy a steak dinner on a happy, you know, evening for myself or something like that. Not every night, but You know, so the goal is to do that and then get it to the point where I'm making enough money where I don't need to do that.
Okay. Well, before we get out of here, in the last 3 years, what is the worst show you've had?
Probably this one that I did this past, the one I did out in, I can't even remember the name of the place.
Well, what made it so bad?
Well, there was a pregnant woman that was drinking and she almost got tased.
Is that legal to serve a pregnant person?
I don't think anybody knew that she was pregnant at the time.
How did they
somehow
figure
another
it out?
That fact came out after the fact, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So that would have been one of the worst ones, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, easily that. Well, no, there was that one, or there was another one out in Madera that I did on Black Friday. That one was pretty vicious. It was a funny story, though. When we get to the place, it's a pizza place. Oh, we got a minute? Never mind. yeah, it was one of those two. So it was either both off of the 99.
Okay.
Yeah.
So stay away from the 99.
be cautious when you
what
is the
best, one you can think of in the last 3 years?
God, I can't even think of one of them.
There's just so many.
There are. I'm so amazing. One of the most memorable ones, I would say, is probably opening up for Stanhope and Winston's.
Okay.
That was one of the wasn't the best set that I've ever done, but to me, it was, that was the kind of a culmination of a lot of things. One, being able to open for somebody that I really, really like.
Yeah.
Two, being able to do it at the club that I really, you know, that I always perform at.
Right. Yeah. That's one thing that's, it's always tough when you're performing out front of a comic of that stature because everyone's there for them.
Yeah.
They're like, how many more people until we get to see the person we paid for?
Exactly. We're not here to see you. Bring him.
Well, Dave, thanks for coming in. Check him out tonight at the Bearded Showcase at the Comedy Store. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in talk. Be back in 7 days. All right, we'll see you next time. All right, bye.